Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bebop Banter, the internet's premier anime podcast, representing the most oppressed group this week, the gamers. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Demetrius.
Everybody needs to go ahead and see Spider-Verse.
I'm excited to see it this weekend.
You must.
And Saeed.
My mind went blank.
Oh, dude, rise up, Saeed. We're the gamers.
Why did that sound like something I'd hear in SpongeBob?
Because, dude, Saeed is a character from SpongeBob, to be honest. You know? But which one? That's the question.
SpongeBob me boy.
SpongeBobu.
Doodle Bob.
Nihoy Minoy? Question mark?
Yes.
Oh, man.
What was that?
I
me hoy
ni hoy manoy.
Old SpongeBob is such a classic. Oh my gosh,
it's so funny,
dude. It still works. You can put SpongeBob in any fandom, and it works.
We had the whole what's it called? We had the whole thing at KatsuCon. We were just quoting with the gym. We were just quoting SpongeBob episodes the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You what?
I'm ready. Man. I'm ready. No, you ain't.
The SpongeBob on the cross that the random person drew on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I look at that sometimes. It just makes me smile. But you know what else makes me smile, everybody? People tuning in and listening to our episode. So thank you all very much for listening. I know we are an anime podcast, but last week we talked about, we started talking about some video game stuff. Without E3, we're doing what we're calling B3. Last week in particular, we did remakes, remasters, thoughts on those releases, some indie game talk. And this week, you know, we're going to go straight ahead. We might have another video game after this. We might not. But thank you all for listening, despite this being just video game podcast. You know, it's that time of the year. Sony had their showcase. Devolver Digital, I think, is about to have theirs. Xbox is having theirs. Ubisoft's having theirs. We got a lot of stuff coming up gaming-wise that we all want to talk about. But before that, just getting this out of the way, you can support our show, in a couple... Well, I said shows because, you know, who knows what we might have cooking.
Ooh.
Episode-wise, at least, and exclusivity-wise. But I'll let Demetrius handle that in a second, because you can support us in two ways. The first is by, you know, a little more expensive. We don't ask that you do this. You can go to killthecrooks.com, use code Bebop15, get yourself some clothes. But Demetrius, what is the other way that people can support us?
The direct way that you can support us is by going to our Patreon at Bebop Banter. There's two different tiers with exclusive content and some more things that we're cooking up in the background that you should see soon.
Yep. I hinted at a couple things, but it's exciting. It's going to be fun. Again, like Dimitri said, it's going to be exclusive to our patrons out there. So you might want to hop in on that. I think, Demetrius, you said billing is paused for now, so you can actually sign up and get in for free, right? For a little bit, because there is some stuff up there already. But either way, everybody, it's time we get going again. Like I mentioned, we spoke about, remakes, remasters, indie games, all that. But amongst all of that, there is something that has kind of existed for a while, almost just as long, and that is downloadable content. The reason we're talking about this, and kind of some of the reasons that we discussed it outside of the group, is one of my favorite games in recent memory, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, got an awesome DLC expansion. Demetrius, one of your favorite games, I'm assuming it's one of your favorite games recently, in Elden Ring, right, is getting an expansion soon.
Yes, sir.
But
can't wait.
Not every game gets DLC like that. So, boys.
Definitely not equally.
Thoughts on, you know, downloadable content as a whole here. What are we thinking about DLC?
I think if I might go on a tangent here, or a rant of sorts, but
let's see.
I have a huge problem with DLC culture nowadays because it seems like for the most part, whenever a game is released, the game isn't ready to be released, and the developers use DLCs as a crutch and an excuse to quickly release games when they're not ready to be released. Half the time, those DLCs shouldn't even be DLCs. They should be the actual game before the game actually comes out.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point, actually, for the negatives of DLC, because it is, and it can be, a pretty huge crutch that a lot of companies, at least now, are using almost every game and releasing all these broken games with patching, and then they'll patch it, and then they'll say, oh, we actually had more, but it wasn't ready, so now it's a DLC. I think that pretty much encompasses how bad DLC can be, because I think a good example of what people are scared of DLC-wise, right? Budokai Tenkaichi 4 was announced.
Oh, God, please. Please, no.
And everyone, including myself, was hype, because Budokai Tenkaichi had one of the biggest rosters, especially 3, had one of the biggest rosters for any DBZ game in history.
Over 100 characters.
120 characters. 120, I believe.
Uh-huh. Huge. So, each with, you know, pretty unique movesets. Some moves were reused, you know, different color beams, all that stuff. But 4 was announced, and we know for a fact that Super is going to be included, which is even more characters. But if you look at Xenoverse, or even Kakarot, both of those games had DLC that got added to the game, which is great for fans, but how is that going to play into how giant and huge DBZ is now? Just Dragon Ball in its entirety. Are they going to start breaking things up? Is GT going to be a DLC? Are these characters going to be a DLC? We could be potentially be getting nickeled and dimed for everything instead of getting a full release of a game, you know?
Yeah, what scares me about Budokai Tenkaichi 4 is because, like, if you look at Kakarot and Xenoverse, right? It's had DLC for years that just keeps the game alive. And yeah, it's character DLC, and that's still kind of weird. But, you know, those games also have pretty significant story DLCs sometimes, right? Like, Kakarot added a bunch of story DLCs. Xenoverse added, like, the superhero stuff recently. But with Xenoverse, we have... Or not Xenoverse, sorry. Tenkaichi 4, we have a precedent that's been set of, you know, this is what it was like before, if that makes sense.
Right, everything was there.
Uh-huh.
The final product was the final product.
Yeah, and if it ends up, like you said, Demetrius, like, with just the basic roster of, like, Z Fighters with their different forms as either transformations or separate characters, and you just get little packs of filler characters, because what I think is dangerous about Dragon Ball, right, like, you look at something like Super Smash Brothers, where it had DLC you could buy, and it's like $4.99 a character, but a lot of work went into each character. They're characters that almost felt impossible to get in Smash, like Sora, and the game already had over 80 characters in it, right?
Mm-hmm. I did not know Smash, you have to pay for the characters.
Yeah, you have to. But I
refuse.
Oh, interesting.
But with Dragon Ball, I think there's potential for there to be wholly useless DLC characters. That
Yep.
Why would you ever, that should have been in the base game, like, why would you ever pay for it? Like, they could do a, and I mean, some people are going to because they like the characters, but they could do, like, a Warrior Born on
Cybermen
Earth
DLC.
Yeah, like Cybermen DLC, like different TN DLC, like, and they'll theme it. They'll be like, oh, here's the 23rd World Tournament DLC with, like, Teen Goku and Piccolo Jr. and a Krillin and a TN. And it's like, cool, but why weren't they in there before? You know what I mean? Like, Dragon Ball just feels like, with how massive the roster could be, to what you were saying, Demetrius, it could get out of hand really fast.
Big time. And I mean, we have there the fan base is so large that there's a lot of loyal customers that I think would still do it.
I would.
But that doesn't negate the fact that the earlier games that were released were full products. So that, like I said, there's definitely a bad side to DLC and a good side to DLC.
Real quick, I do also want to point, like, we're talking characters and we're talking like a little bit of story, which I'm sure we'll get into the good parts of DLC. But there is a type of DLC that I absolutely hate, and it's a DLC that you can pay for to get ahead. Like the microtransaction. Oh, yeah, pay DLC. To win. Like Ubisoft win, did yeah. this with Assassin's Creed, where they're like, you could pay this much money to level your character up this much faster. Or like the NBA 2K games are notorious for being like, here's your create a character. You have to use these skill points to level up his different attributes. It'll take you 40 hours to grind 10 skill points, or you can pay $49.99 for 20 skill points.
You know what's insane? The psychology of gamers nowadays with the pay-to-win system, it's like you pay for the game, and then you're paying to not play the game.
Yeah, it's wild.
Because the shortcuts are like, okay, that shaves off a bunch of hours into the game you would have put in if you wanted to grind to get to that point. So you're paying not to play. I guess the counter argument to that would be you're saving time. Your time's valuable. You want to get to, I guess, a higher rank so you can go online and do things, I guess. But I don't know.
It does get
tricky. I can
tricky.
See both sides.
It gets tricky yeah, it because gets tricky. With how expensive some of these games are, you want to at least artificially make them look like they're worth that cost, right? Mm-hmm. Like, grinding might add 20 hours to a game, and you're like, well, you paid $70 for this game, but it took you 60 hours to beat, so, like, you almost had, like, a one-to-one, but then they know that people will pay to shortcut it. And
right.
just like you guys said, how the releasing of DLC can force people, or, like, not force, but can give people the idea that they can put an unreleased product out, I feel like this type of DLC can get into some developers' minds that they can design games to a certain level of tedium to force people to pay extra money. Like, it's weird. It's weird to me.
Right.
With some and of this
it,
stuff.
I mean, it kind of extends to patching, too, because we could easily talk about patching, because that has yep. been probably a big problem since maybe, what, 2017-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Where developers just release broken games. Like, the most famous game that was broken upon release was Cyberpunk 2077. And
yep.
it was broken for years until it was finally patched and patched and patched until it's actually playable and you're not falling through the map. Yeah, and if we're relating it back to anime, you know, Edgerunners basically saved that game, gave it a resurge. Yep.
Did you know, fun fact, Demetrius, speaking of Edgerunners, and your opening statement here, who's the main girl in Edgerunners? Lucy?
Lucy.
Yeah.
She is, her Japanese voice actor voices Gwen in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Hey, let's go.
It's pretty cool. Pretty
and,
cool.
Who is it? Is it? It's not Miles. It's Peter B. Parker is voiced by... Or is it Miles? Either Miles or Peter B. Parker is voiced by Mamoru Miyano, I think is his name, who did Okabe from Steins Gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some yep. heavy hitters on both voice acting casts. Big time. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the good DLC. Side of DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the good for DLC is when a developer has put out a full game. People love it. People praise it. It's great. It's like seeing a concert and your favorite artist does a killer show. They leave the stage and everybody's screaming encore, but they love it. A good DLC is when that artist comes right back out on stage and performs some more. And I think Wes, our friend Wes here, talks about yes. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 all yes. the time.
Oh, and 2 did it too.
And, yeah, and it got a DLC that I know he's still loving.
Yeah, oh, man. So, just, and this is what I really hope Elden Ring gets, too.
Please, please.
Mm-hmm. because Xenoblade, I'll use 3 as an example, but 2 did this as well, where both games took me over 130 to 140 hours to beat. Complete games, full stories, all that. But woven throughout Xenoblade 1 and Xenoblade 3, or Xenoblade 2, Xenoblade 3, are, you know, pieces of lore or slight references to events happening before the game, or certain characters knowing each other from certain places that aren't fully explained. And in an interview after Xenoblade 2 came out, when they announced the DLC, the director was like, look, we have this huge prequel story that we just didn't feel it like is a whole different cast of characters that we just didn't feel like we could put in this game. Because, and this could go really for any game, you don't want to take the player out of the experience that they're going through to see a completely different experience. So for Xenoblade 2, they had the whole game, and then there's a prequel they released, and it got a physical release, which was cool, that takes place 500 years before. There's one to three characters that are holdovers that you meet later on in Xenoblade 2, and it's a complete 50 to 60 hour DLC story expansion that is a prequel to the game, and it adds on to it. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, same thing. There are all these hints of stuff that happened before, and they released a DLC that I'm 30, 40 hours in trying to beat everything in that is both a prequel and a sequel to Xenoblade 3 with a completely different cast of characters, and it expands upon the story in a way that's not necessary, but welcome. And like I said, the developers were saying, you know, you don't want to take the player out of the experience of being with these characters to play as different characters for almost the length of another full game. So in that regard, I give them releasing that DLC as a pass because it's so massive, right? Elden Ring, mm-hmm. I feel like is about to get the same thing, right? They announced a massive Elden Ring expansion. Please. Please
from software, good. From Software is pretty well known for doing that, though. Especially in their Bloodborne got some pretty highly praised DLC. and I'm sure there's other ones. I didn't play Dark Souls 3. Maybe yeah,
Souls
I'll go
1
back.
And 3, they have really nice DLC. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
And favorite bosses and everything.
Exactly.
In the DLCs.
And like that's what a good DLC looks like when you have when the love is put into it and you know that you have the trust with the developer that it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
and I think Wes, you said something basically along the lines of, it's not needed, but it's welcomed, and that's pretty much what a good DLC needs.
Yeah, and it goes to what you were saying again, Demetrius. It goes in a way with the whole Encore thing that it's just such a good feeling. To, like, as weird as it sounds, it's such a good feeling to buy and play the DLC when it's done like that, because similar to an artist coming out for an encore, I beat Xenoblade 3 months ago, right? Like, a while ago. And having that feeling of booting up this massive DLC story expansion, seeing the vision that they had for the game again, with a whole new set of characters and whole new locales, but similar gameplay and a whole new story. It had that nostalgia to it that just had me right into like reminding me like this is a good game. Like it's not the dirty feeling of like I'm going to drop. And I think this can be a good segue when once everyone says their talks on it. It's not the dirty feeling of I'm going to drop this much money because it speeds me up, or I'm going to drop this much money because I have to continue to because it's a live service. It's like, no, this is a love letter and a thank you to the fans that enjoyed the original thing until we meet again for the next part of it. And it's just such a good feeling to be validated by a purchase rather than you make the purchase and you almost feel like you're like in a few months you're going to have to make another one just to continue keeping up. So,
right. Yep.
So, yeah. But I mentioned it. Thoughts, it's in a way almost the new age of DLC, right? Mixing what Saeed you were talking about with incomplete games, with the idea of instant or with the idea of extending game lives, the lifetime of a game, live service games. It's not as trendy as it is or as it was with stuff like Destiny, but important to note because Diablo 4 did come out this past week and it is a live service game that's going to be built upon over time. The idea of a live service game, a baseline game coming out, and for however many years moving forward, stuff is going to drop periodically. What do we think about that type of game now? That almost new age DLC style of game.
I'm going to let Saeed take this one first.
Hey.
I'll say this
to kind of help guide this discussion about live service games. A lot of the times it's free, the quote unquote right. DLC. I'll use Monster Hunter as an example. The base game for Monster Hunter came out. I still put like 100 hours into it, grinding and hunting and all that stuff. But then every week a new event quest came out, and every one.
When you say live service games, what's I guess
so like
would that mean games?
So it's
that
like
are free?
No. So it's like you pay for a game. So I paid for Monster Hunter, right? Monster Hunter
right.
Rise. It had the base game that takes anywhere from 40 to 60 hours to beat if you're not grinding, and I put over 100 hours in it, grinding out all my armor. Paid $60 for the game. 100% for free, every week a new event quest got patched into the game, and every 2 months a new monster came into the game. Now, people are able to data mine and find that these were things that were to be added into the game later. Some of the code was already in there, but it was used as free title updates to continue the game forward. Diablo is going to be another game that does that, where you buy right. Diablo for $70, but then they're going to patch in new classes or new equipment or new areas or new big events that you can join in. Destiny did it,
yeah.
Where every other week there was a new raid or a new multiplayer.
Yeah,
thing.
MMORPGs do this.
Yep.
This,
oh,
is,
yeah,
like, this is like the business model for MMORPGs.
Yep, exactly. It's live service games are MMOR. It's the model MMOs followed, but now it's creeping more into the console generation. Demetrius, we can actually talk about this. even though we had to pay for it, kind of, Mario Kart, the DLC, they're releasing those new courses every few months, right? Like a drip feed
yeah.
of things instead of releasing everything at one time. So
to extend the longevity of the game.
Yep.
I think it's smart, honestly, even because the longevity of the game and keeping the game relevant is similar to how we would discuss about the problem with releasing everything at once when it comes to anime on Netflix with JoJo. The hype would die down way faster. It'd be overall more unhealthy for the product, I guess, if they released it all at once, potentially. Mario Kart's a little different because the base game itself is very solid. Mm-hmm. Has plenty of maps and everything
yeah.
as is. So anything extra after that, if they want to do it in a delayed fashion, totally fine with that. Makes perfect business sense. Because mm-hmm. each pack release comes out with a good handful of maps, so having like the fan base toy around with the new maps bit by bit would be better compared to it all coming out at once, potentially maps not even being looked at as much if it came out all at once type of thing, I guess.
Animal
right.
Crossing, another example, right? We all bought Animal Crossing during the pandemic, and then
yeah.
every month there was a different event or new clothes or new stuff added in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it was free, but it's all stuff that could have been there in the beginning but was added later.
I
think it's better that it's not in the beginning
yeah.
because it gives a second wave of a hype for the game.
Yeah, it kind of keeps things like fresh, especially when it's free. Because a lot of Animal Crossing's updates were free. It keeps things fresh, keeps things interesting, especially if you think you've mastered the game. It gives a new wave of things that you can do. I was going to say that I don't really play many live service games, but I guess Animal Crossing does count.
Mm-hmm. And the big example, I guess, that is yet to release is Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, right?
I'm not buying that game.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. But it's an interesting look at, you know, and Marvel's Avengers.
That it's Avengers Batman. It is Batman Fortnite. Them.
Yeah. It's one of those. And I mean, in a way, it's similar to the Fortnite Battle Pass, right? It's just... It's weird in that, like, developers, I feel like, with, to close the book on this just kind of live service tangent, they're a lot of times more open with the fact that you're getting an incomplete game when they label it as live service, right? And people are less likely to be upset about it, I guess. That's why you see, I feel like a lot of games release quote-unquote seasons. Like Call of Duty will have different seasons. Fortnite
season
will have
passes.
Seasons.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can buy the season passes or you can just stick with the free stuff that comes with it. It's an interesting world we live in where all these games that have things like that are just all competing for your time at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
big
you
time.
Just have to pick which one. But yeah, the DLC thing, final thoughts. I think you guys said it awesome. Done right, DLC can just be an incredible addition to what a game has to offer. Especially if it comes out a while after you've beaten it. It's almost like finding a brand new friend. But it can also just absolutely ruin an experience. Like, I believe Street Fighter 4 or 5, people hacked that game when it came out and found out that all the DLC was on the disc already. They just had to pump out the update to the consoles to unlock the characters.
Oh,
but you still
boy.
Had to pay for it, but all the characters were on the disc already.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Like, they were there. Like, that's an infamous example, but, like, I think you guys said it well. So any final thoughts on DLC before we get to the closing remarks of B3 about certain exciting things about games?
No, I personally, I think in closing, just being real, I think that money talks for everything. So
Demetrius loved the Kingdom Hearts DLC. Let's go, KH3.
No, did not buy Remind, will not buy Remind, because money talks. And I believe if I enjoyed the base game, the core mechanics, the characters, the music, and I actually love it and I consider it to be worth my time, then I will buy the DLC. But if it doesn't meet my criteria or if I'm on the fence, then I'm just going to lean on the side of caution and not do it. And I think that's what a smart game developer or production studio needs to understand, that just releasing a DLC, yes, you can definitely get some money for it, but is it something that's going to keep your core fan base interested in your game if you release it?
Yo,
and I think that's the
it.
Question
the
they need to ask.
The interesting thing is, piggybacking off what you just said about your purchasing power being basically the vote in all this, that's why game developers are doing it more and more. It's because the consumers are willing to spend more money on DLCs. And we can't blame it 100%. We kind of can on the game developers, because they wouldn't be doing the whole half release the game and then update it later type thing if the consumers weren't actually purchasing the DLCs.
And there's a lot behind it too, right? Like
the
executives, the cost that goes into it, like...
Yeah. Right. It's the people are paying for this stuff, so that's why it keeps happening, and that's why it's going in this direction.
And you know what
it's good, like we said before, it's good and bad. Like, we've spent the entire podcast so far talking about the good and bad, but yeah, that's about it.
Consumer-wise,
yeah, you're
right. That's a good point.
Until you brought it up, Demetrius. I didn't even think about this until you brought it up with the whole, like, if a game doesn't meet your standards, you won't buy the DLC for it. you know what we don't see on store shelves anymore? The, like, definitive or game of the year editions that was the base game that might have been bad that included all the DLC in it.
Right?
When was the last time we saw that?
Everything's digital.
Yeah, when was the last time we saw any sort of, like, because you can buy, like, the digital deluxe edition bundles that cost more that come with all the DLC. But I remember back in the day, you know, old man yelling at clouds, boomer over here, you'd wait, like, a year, and they'd re-release the game at the same full price, but it would have all the DLC and all the patches and all that stuff on it. And it'd be the best way to play it. Like, when they re-released Skyrim on Switch and all that, it had the Dragonborn DLC, it had all the DLC included in it. So, if you had bought Skyrim way back in the day and bought the DLCs as they came out, you ultimately spent more than if you bought Skyrim Definitive Edition that came with it all at the regular base price. And you don't really see that anymore, which is, you know, to your guys' point, all about the money. Because people will pay for it.
It's true. Purchasing power is important.
But speaking of purchasing power, boys, the one thing we've talked about, remakes, we've talked about remasters, we've talked about indies, we've talked about, you know, DLCs, live service games. But the one thing that everybody always loved about E3 as we wrap up our B3 types of episode were the game reveals. It was like Christmas in summer watching all of these game shows. Summer Games Fest, depending on when I can actually get to editing and releasing this, either is the day of this release or the day before this release. That's as close as we're going to get. But I remember sitting down on a Saturday, turning on the Nintendo Direct or the Sony PlayStation Live or the Xbox, whatever they call it, the Xbox Presents, or Ubisoft or the EA thing, and it was just a whole slate of new games that you'd never even thought of or that you heard about before, things you got excited about. So to wrap up B3, boys, what companies are you looking at? What franchises are you potentially looking at? I know, Saeed, you said you're into League of Legends. Well, they got a bunch of games out that are standalone story, like RPGs types of stuff in League of Legends that are either coming out or are out. They got a fighting game, too. But, like, what companies, what franchises, what systems, what types of games are you looking forward to? Are you excited for seeing the growth of? And if you could pick one release that would be your dream B3 reveal, right? What would it be and why?
Bro, that's a big question to drop.
It is, but it's the exciting part, because I'll even start because I've thought about this. This is our pie in the sky, crazy. It doesn't even have to be a full reveal of a game, right? But one of the craziest E3 moments for me was seeing one of my favorite games of all time. If we did an updated list, it would be up there. Nintendo, like, shadow reveal a full remake of Xenoblade Chronicles, the first one from Wii. I'm looking forward to all of the RPGs that could potentially be released. There's a new Persona game that's rumored, Persona 5T. The URL got updated. There's a remake of Persona 3 that's supposedly going to be coming soon that footage has surfaced of online. The Dragon Quest remake in that HD 2D pixel art style. Dragon Quest 12. There are a bunch of cool RPGs. So that's the space I'm looking at, particularly from Nintendo, or on Nintendo consoles, because that's what I play the most. But my pie in the sky reveal would be at the end of it all, the presentation's going, and we get a Xenoblade Chronicles 4 tease, or whatever is next from Monolith Soft. That would be my dream reveal here. I know a lot of people would probably say a lot of other things, like, I don't know, Elden Ring 2 or Bloodborne 2. Or we have a particular friend that would say Bloodborne on PC. To be less...
Never.
I mean, maybe even more pie in the sky than my Xenoblade Chronicles 4.
Pie in the sky? You're talking pie in space.
Yeah. So, if you could pick one thing, what would it be?
I would say a new IP from Sucker Punch, because I have never had a bad time playing a Sucker Punch game.
Hey, they have the Lollipop Chainsaw remake coming out.
I didn't play that. But the I played Sly Cooper, I played Infamous, I played Ghost of Tsushima, which is a classic. Like, all three of those individual franchises were great, in my opinion. And the play style of a Sucker Punch game is really fun to me, because there's usually a lot of freedom that is naturally built into their games. And just, they're usually stylized to the point where the artist in me jumps around for joy a little bit. So I just really enjoy the IP of Sucker, or the production studio of Sucker Punch. So if they were to release something, I'd be pretty happy.
Do you know a lot of people were actually predicting Ghost of Tsushima 2 for that Sony State of Play, and a lot of people were mad that it didn't come out?
I'm surprised that people actually think it would get a sequel.
Those are people that never beat the game, huh?
Yeah, you if you beat the game, you would kind of see the story to its conclusion. That's all I'm going to really say. And the amount of, like, historical research you have to do to make a game like that, that game must have been in production for at least, like, 6 years.
I'd be interested to see them take on other historical conflicts in the style of Ghost of Tsushima.
It'd be interesting. Mm-hmm. Nothing Saeed, like some good old historical fiction, am I right?
Saeed, I know you're not too much of a super gamer anymore, but is there a particular game or type of game that would really get you excited?
Yes, I've been waiting for this for years. A new Elder Scrolls game. Because the last game I was hyper obsessed with was Skyrim. I'd be super hyped if they released a sequel to that. Yeah, with the caveat that I would hope the combat system would be way upgraded, because the combat system in Skyrim is not the best in comparison. After I've been playing Elden Ring, I'm like, okay, Skyrim's a little scuffed.
See, this is
combat system wise.
This is where it's going to be interesting, because Microsoft bought Bethesda, and Bethesda announced Starfield, and then they teased Elder Scrolls 6.
Right.
And they said Elder Scrolls 6 was coming out after Starfield, and Starfield comes out this year. So your thing actually could be, like,
pretty close.
It could be at least, like, they're not going to show anything of it or talk about it because of the Starfield hype that they're trying to build. But that could be, like, a next-year reveal for you, Saeed.
Hopefully. I've been waiting for years.
Elder Scrolls 6, 2025.
Yep.
I've been
praying for years for a good Pokemon game. Like,
oh, keep praying.
Good.
Hey, don't worry, like, dude. You get the DLC.
Top to bottom.
You get the DLC this year for Scarlet and Violet.
But what I want in a Pokemon game, I've talked about this before, I don't like this 3D Pokemon stuff. I want to go back to pixels.
Here we go with the boomer talks.
2.5 art style, if you want to upgrade it a little bit. Because I feel like Pokemon lost a lot of its charm when it went to the 3D model. For me personally, the games did. But I might just be a boomer. I'd be okay with the 3D, actually, if the game looked better. Now that I'm thinking about it even more.
And plays like Arceus, or if I get more, and we talked about this off air a lot, but if I got more Pokemon games that played like Legends, and it's a different folklore, different region, I would buy that game easy.
Yeah.
Yep.
The lore is there. How many times in episodes have we talked about it? How many times we talked about they could do like a Legends Kyurem and talk about the lore of the one original dragon that ultimately splits up into Reshiram and Zekrom in Unova?
Yep.
Or the three Pokemon, the burning of the... Which tower was it in Johto? The burning of the tower.
Bellsprout.
Yeah.
Sprout Tower.
Well, Bellsprout Tower was made like next to whatever tower. Oh. But the one where Ho-Oh resurrected the three dogs in the Johto region.
Like, but the most banger potential is the one, I forget which gen, I think I believe it's 6 with A to Z or whatever.
Oh, with a big with the
Pokemon war
in XY.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
XY's war. That would be sick.
Talking about Pokemon like sacrificing their lives to try to end the war and stuff. That got crazy, actually. Yep.
Yeah.
There's lore to explore.
You could just play as AZ, as a young AZ in the game, and experience the Pokemon. Like, that would be dope. That would be really, really cool. You know? I think what this ultimately shows in the variety of our answers and in kind of what we're talking about with what we're looking for in games or what we like in games is, honestly, we're living in like a golden age of video games right now. Right?
Oh, yeah.
We were in a couple of years where people were saying there weren't really any games. Myself disagreed because I'm just into the niche types of smaller games. But if you look at these last few months, right? Even going back to last October, quality of Pokemon aside, we had God of War, Elden Ring, Bayonetta 3, Pokemon Scarlet Violet, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Street Fighter 6, Diablo 4. We have a new Tekken on the horizon. We have a new Budokai Tenkaichi on horizon. Metal Gear Solid 3 remake coming out. Starfield hopefully is good. We're in
Riot's like, fighting game potentially.
Yeah, there's
like fighting games are back.
Fighting games are so bad. Mortal Kombat 1 is coming out, right? Like
Next Evil is going to be so hype. I'm so excited.
Like we live in such a weird time where like even the remakes, bringing it back to last week's episode, check it out if you didn't listen. Dead Space remake, Resident Evil 4 remake, Metroid Prime remake. Like this last half a year to a year has been bangers going back to 2022. And a lot of people will focus on the stinkers that have come out, like Redfall, like the Gollum game.
Yeah.
That's low-key hilarious to watch. It's so bad. But we literally are living in just a golden age of video games right now where the possibilities going forward are endless. And while prices are going up and it's becoming more and more of a premium hobby, it's also becoming more and more accessible, more and more mainstream, and it is exciting to see it. We are an anime podcast first and foremost, but we're also three friends that just love getting together on a Friday night and playing Shine Thief or clowning on bad games or sharing our experiences in games that we're all playing at the same time or recommending games to each other, because it is kind of that new form of entertainment, and it's been great to see it kind of grow to where it is, and it's exciting to see it move on to its next stage. And although the impetus of this episode or these set of episodes being E3 dying, although E3, like a major part of our childhood, is gone, arguably gaming is in a better state perhaps than it ever has been. So with that being said, everybody, thank you all for listening. Next week we have anime focused episodes returning, and Demetrius said it, I teased a little bit, we've been saying it, we have some really cool Patreon stuff coming out extremely soon now, so get ready for that. Probably going to come out before Saeed gets those highs out here, but hey, who knows. It's been a little bit since I've said. But again, thank you all for listening. Let us know what game your dream release would be, what games you're excited about playing, what games you are playing. Follow us at Bebop Banter on Instagram, Twitter, all our socials, and head to the link tree in our Instagram bio to be able to figure out how you can directly support us. We are the most oppressed class, the gamers, as the meme goes. But really, that could be coming to an end. My name was Wes. This was Demetrius and Saeed. and you guys know what to hit.
To be continued.
Bebop, don't stop.
Peace.